ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। Hare Krishna. We are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 21. Kalam karma svabhavam cha mayesho mayaya svaya atman yadrichaya praptam विभु भूषुर उपाददे। कालम इटर्नल टाइम, कर्मा द फेट ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी, स्वभावम नेचर च ऑल्सो माया पोटेंसी ईशः द कंट्रोलर Mayaya, by the energy, Swaya, of his own, Atman, unto his self, Yadrichaya, independently, Praptam, being merged in, Vibhu Bhushuhu, appearing differently, Upadade, accepted for being created again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, the Lord who is the controller of all energies thus creates by His own potency, eternal time, the fate of all living entities and their particular nature, for which they were created, and he again merges them independently. Please repeat that. The Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates by his own potency, eternal time, the fate of all living entities and their particular nature for which they were created. And he again merges them independently. Purport. The creation of the material world, wherein the conditioned souls are allowed to act subordinately by the Supreme Lord, takes place again and again after being repeatedly annihilated. The material creation is something like a cloud in the unlimited sky. The real sky is the spiritual sky, eternally filled with the rays of the Brahmajyoti, and a portion of his unlimited sky is covered by the Mahatattva cloud of the material creation, in which the conditioned souls who want to lord it against the will of the Lord are put into play as they desire under the control of the Lord by the agency of his external energy. As the rainy season appears and disappears regularly, the creation takes place and is again annihilated under the control of the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.19. So the creation and annihilation of the material worlds is a regular action of the Lord, just to allow the conditioned souls to play as they like and thereby create their own fate of being differently created again in terms of their independent desires at the time of annihilation. The creation, therefore, takes place at a historical date, as we are accustomed to think of everything which has a beginning in our tiny experience. The process of creation and annihilation is called anadi, or without reference to date regarding the time the creation first took place, because the duration of even a partial creation is 8,640 million years. The law of creation is, however, as mentioned in the Vedic literatures, that it is created at certain intervals and is again annihilated by the will of the Lord. The whole material or even the spiritual creation is a manifestation of the energy of the Lord. Just as the light and heat of a fire are different manifestations of the fire's energy. The Lord therefore exists in his impersonal form by such expansion of energy, and the complete creation rests on his impersonal feature. Nonetheless, he keeps himself distinct from such creation as the Purnam or complete, and so no one should wrongly think that his personal feature is not existent due to his impersonal unlimited expansions. The impersonal expansion is a manifestation of his energy, and he is always in his personal feature despite his innumerable unlimited expansions of impersonal energies. Bhagavad Gita 9.5-7. For human intelligence, it is very difficult to conceive how the whole creation rests on his expansion of energy. But the Lord has given a very good example in the Bhagavad Gita. It is said that although the air and the atoms rest within the huge expansion of the sky, which is like the resting reservoir of everything materially created, still the sky remains separate and unaffected. Similarly, although the Supreme Lord maintains everything created by his expansion of energy, he always remains separate. This is accepted even by Shankaracharya, the great advocate of the impersonal form of the Absolute. He says, Narayana paro avyaktat. O Narayana exists separately, apart from the impersonal creative energy. The whole creation thus merges within the body of transcendental Narayana at the time of annihilation, and the creation emanates from his body again with the same unchanging categories of fate and individual nature. The individual living entities, being parts and parcels of the Lord, are sometimes described as Atma, qualitatively one in spiritual constitution. But because every living entity, because such living entities are apt to be attracted to the material creation, actively and subjectively, they are therefore different from the Lord. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmayi Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namane. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Happy to be here in ISKCON Melbourne in the association of so many wonderful devotees and to the lotus feet of Shri Shri Radha Vallabha, Shri Jagannath Baladev, Shri Bhadramai, Shri Shri Gaunita and Srila Prabhupada. This is my first visit to Melbourne. Jai. And it's pretty cold for me. Become a little inactive in the cold. I'm a tropical guy coming from South India. And I'm still a little fuzzy from yesterday's journey. And this happens to be a very technical subject matter. All put together, I shall endeavor to do some justice. So, this is a beautiful discussion on the technical aspects of how this material world is created. It's extremely interesting, especially for a person who is educated materially and is very inquisitive to know how things happen. And here is a very scientific description. That's one thing. On the other side, devotees who are simply interested in chanting Hare Krishna and liking to hear Krishna's wonderful pastimes are sometimes not paying much importance. Oh, I know all that, but it's not very important. I don't bother to learn about all the technical aspects of how creation occurs. It's not naturally very interesting. True. But if you look at it, every Purana has got this feature of description of the creation, annihilation, maintenance. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayaha manmantri ishanukatha nirodho muktirashayaha. These are all the characteristics of a Purana. So first thing is atra sarga visargascha. Creation, and then the secondary creation. Sthanam poshanam utayaha. Maintenance, nourishment. And all these things, as is mentioned, right up to annihilation. And then mukti. These are all characteristics, description. That's why would the Bhagavadam have such a detailed description on creation? Why does the Bhagavadam have Manvantri Ishanukatha? So-and-so descended from so-and-so, his son was so-and-so, then his daughters were so-and-so, then he married this. Sometimes we keep reading that and wondering, why is this doing in Bhagavadam? I want to get to the 10th canto. But we have to go through these things. Creation, Ishanukatha, different types of kings, and its whole description. Why? It's got a particular reason. It's got a reason. Like I mentioned, educated persons would find it very interesting to know what's your Vedic concept of creation. How do things come about? One of the things that people always like to know inquisitively of, who did this? Who made it? How much does it cost? What's the effort? Everybody in the material world likes to know these things. Where did you buy this from? Inquisitiveness. And why is a materialist inquisitive? He's inquisitive because he wants to take the position of a creator constantly. Who is the creator? How did he do it? I also create. I'll also do that. Everybody is very busy in the material world trying to find out how to create, what to do, producing things. In other words, imitating Krishna and getting some cheap thrills out of it. That's one reason why a materialist would be very interested in knowing how things are created. And he can emulate that in some way or the other. But a devotee is interested also to know how things are created. Because he wants to know how the Lord is actually so merciful. Like it's mentioned in the shloka. The Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates by his own potency eternal time, the fate of living entities and that particular nature for which they were created, and he again merges them independently. Here is a good hint that the Lord is creating for you and me. For you and me. To accommodate our great desire to be like the Lord. To accommodate a great desire to enjoy matter. To accommodate our desire to be separated from Krishna. Separated from Him. and have our own world. This is amazing. And he is creating. Okay? This is your world. And simultaneously within the creation, he's adding that element of learning for us. And while we mess around with matter, while we try to lord over matter, while we try to use matter to create and then take possession as law and lordship, we also get to learn that it is not possible. It's not so easy. It's got many complications. And then we start inquiring, right? Who is the creator? What is happening? So a devotee's question about creation is out of great inquisitiveness about the mercy of the Lord. And why would the Lord do this? How he is accommodating the living entities within the creation, and how he is merciful, and how he has expanded his energies so that it's an education for the living entity to understand. That's why Narada is asking Brahma out of great inquisitiveness. My dear father, you're a very intelligent person, Brahma. So he's asking, the creation is so complicated and you are so amazing that you're creating this whole material world. It looks like almost you are the original creator. And Brahma is explaining, no, it's not so. Yes, God has intelligence in place. No, it's not so. It appears like that. I am only number two creator. I am only the secondary creator. Actually, everything is run by Krishna. So there's a, he constantly speaks about how the Lord creates. He's speaking always about how the Lord creates. In the material world, as soon as you give somebody a chance to say that he is a creator, he will grab it, lap it up and say, yeah, I did that, I did this, we did that. Even devotees, we say that. And then I did that and then I happened to do this and then I made this temple and then I built this temple, blah, blah, blah. So many things we don't speak. But you can see Brahma, he keeps attributing it to the Lord. Although he is the one through whom the Lord works, he still attributes it to the Lord. This is the meaning of a devotee. Nimitta matram bhavasavya sachin. I am just an instrument. And I am blessed because Krishna has decided to use me as an instrument. And I am rendering that service in that humility. Although I am invested with capability for creation, the creative impetus is invested in Brahma. And therefore he is able to do it. And Brahma knows it. That without Krishna's connection, I have no potency to create. So interesting thing is he keeps speaking about Krishna. He never speaks about creation disconnected with Krishna. Just like devotees of the Lord would say, by the mercy of the Lord, this happened. We know that. We know that. So that's an interesting feature of the description of creation, because you will not understand creation unless you understand it in connection with Krishna. You really will not click unless you understand it in connection with Krishna. If you try to understand it like material education people have, they make a very big mistake. They can't even understand matter properly, because it's their explanations are all disconnected with the Supreme Being. So you can't understand it. In fact, material nature will bewilder you. If you try to touch material nature without connection with Krishna, and you try to probe and try to research and try to understand, it's completely get flummoxed. You will not be able to understand. And so many problems you create by your own understanding. So the key feature here is that in the Bhagavatam, creation is explained in respect to Krishna, the Supreme Being. and everything is attributed to Krishna, and it is done so by Brahma, who is as good as the Supreme Creator. And consciously he is saying that the Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates, putting it in place. Prabhupada is explaining here very brilliantly how creation rests on the impersonal feature of the Lord, how creation rests on the energy of the Lord, and how it's difficult to understand Krishna's energies. So many different aspects Prabhupada is mentioning in this brilliant purport. We don't even have to say anything more. But however, there's a danger that Prabhupada constantly alludes to. That is, modern materialistic people, how they would interpret it, then the Mayavadis, what they will say about it. These two things are explained by Prabhupada in the purport. Materialistic personalities, whole world is full of them, they would interpret creation in many different ways. Without the root, obviously. And we know all these different theories, completely minus any amount of God consciousness. They try to attribute everything to chance, everything to human effort, or speak karma mimamsa philosophy, and in this way try to keep away Krishna, keep away God. But then there are spiritualists who know that things come from the Supreme Lord, but would take opportunity to have a Mayavadi interpretation to it. So Prabhupada is explaining here that although the creation rests on the impersonal feature of the Lord, still this does not mean that the personal feature is superior. Personal feature is inferior to the impersonal energy of the Lord. It is actually retaining its superior nature. In this way, Prabhupada is explaining the Mayavadi's stance also. And he is also speaking about Shankaracharya. And even Shankaracharya has accepted Narayana Paro Avyaktat, that Narayana is beyond this creation. So, within the creation of the Lord, the description that is given, are devotees of the Lord. Like here, Narada is asking Brahma details of the creation. They are interested in knowing the creation because it is a pastime of the Lord. How the Lord does this, what purpose is behind it, and how we are all involved in it, and how we can get out of it. Nirodho mukti rashaya. Mukti, liberation from the clutches of this creation. So therefore we get to know the details of it. So here, the Lord, who is the controller of all energies, the description of out of his own potency creating eternal time, the fate of all living entities and their particular nature, and the cycle of creation. It repeatedly occurs. Prabhupada is explaining that here very nicely. So these details of creation, and within that Krishna's appearance, within the creation of the Lord. The Lord creates, then he appears within that, and he disappears. And then he comes again and disappears. In this way, to remind the living entities of his presence and the connection of the material world with Krishna. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, many references are alluded here. This description is given in great, simple detail, not great detail. But in the Bhagavatam, it comes into greater detail. There's also a description of the creation between Maitreya and Vidura's discussions. In many different places, this is discussed. And the details of it if we study, if you're interested and if we study in detail, it will help us to understand the intricacies of creation. It's not so simple. But it is done very simply by the Lord. The Lord is not directly involving himself. He is outsourcing creation to Brahma. His business is, he's Rasaraj. He plays the flute and he enjoys with his devotees pastimes. This does not mean that Krishna as Rasaraj is not involved in the creation. He has expanded himself in such a wonderful way. And everything goes on as is required. But he does not get involved in it. That's why it's mentioned here that everything rests on the Lord, but still he is not actually in it. That Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita too. You see. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshu avastitah. I am not situated, behold my mystic opulence. In another place he says. So Krishna is an enjoyer. He's, when we say creation, we don't be very busy. You know, he's morning to evening working like us. No, that's why this connection between seeing Krishna like this with a flute and very happily enjoying with this thing, while at the same time a whole lot of things going on, right up to intricate details, not just one Brahma, so many Brahmas with so many universes and creation going on, and then God is playing the flute. It's very difficult to connect these together for people if you do not know all the features of who God is. You see, to a German professor who visited India, there's a conversation of Prabhupada, I mean, with him. He's saying, I visited India. And then Prabhupada said, oh, very good. Then he said, what did you do? He said, I visited many temples. Then Prabhupada was amused. What did you see? And he told Prabhupada that I saw various different types of gods. All of them very busy. He said, Kali, there's a god, the tongue hanging out and so many hands and so many, you know, implements, weapons in her hands. And she's killing somebody and all that. He described it. And there's another god flying on the peacock. There's another one lifting this. There's another one doing that. This. Everybody is very busy. But one God, I think, is really God. Because he has nothing to do. He's playing the flute. That's the only God I saw playing the flute, not really busy. Then Prabhupada said, you are an intelligent man. He observed intelligently. And you know that he is God. So what's the connection? How Krishna is sitting there and playing the flute and behind him or lot of things are happening. He's not involved. Nacha aham teshu avastitah. But actually he's involved too. He's got powers over everything. If he wants to, he can get directly involved. When necessary, he does that for the sake of his devotee. He comes and interferes and puts things in place because it is he who is actually the original creator and person running. So Krishna is an amazing, feature. In his amazing feature, as Shyama Sundara, is still the deadly creator behind. When Brahma tried to test Krishna, you can see in that story, when Brahma tried in his bewilderment, Brahma Vimohana Leela, the same Brahma who is describing the Lord, he also got bewildered. And he tried to test the Lord. He got confused. He couldn't understand this. You see? Although here he is describing. In Brahma Vimohana Leela, we know that after Krishna killed Agasura, when they were having bhojan, vana bhojan, Krishna was eating with all the gopas. And he saw, it's mentioned in some places, actually the Vrajavasis and others speak that all the demigods celebrated that Agasura was killed. They jumped and they danced and they played Damaru and the Apsaras danced and everybody. Because Agasura, even they were afraid of Agasura, such a fierce demon. And then the Gopas all, our hero Krishna, he killed him, and they celebrated. And then they had a late lunch that day, because lunch was delayed because of Agasura's pastime. Then they ate, and while they were eating, it's mentioned that the Brahma came and saw. Brahma was a little late in the celebration of Agasura. The demigods celebrated it, and then Brahma was busy with universal affairs. Like many times, a temple president will be very busy. He may not be immediately come and enjoy the real stuff that's going on, but he comes a little late or something, busy. Brahma also came. He said, "What's going on?" I said, Agasura killed? Really? Who? Krishna. And then what he saw was, they were having bhojan together. Then he watched, as soon as reported, said, "Yeah, Krishna, possible. It's happened before. Putana, Tranavarta." So he saw that the cowherd boys were all together and they were eating. They eat out of the hollow of the tree. They eat out of the hollow of the rocks. They have their prasadam there. Some eat on leaves. Some eat on flowers. And you know, thousands and thousands of those gopas together. And Krishna is sitting in the center. And the amazing thing was, the gopas were eating. And they were saying, "Oh, Krishna, this is really wonderful. My mama sent this to me." And then biting it from the mouth and giving it to Krishna. And then Krishna tasting that and saying, "Oh, amazing, you're right. It tastes so wonderful." Then Krishna will eat and then give it to the other gopas. And in this way, in between themselves, they were eating. Okay, we can understand that Krishna is eating and giving, "Oh, you know, Mahaprasad, we are so happy to get it." But why would Krishna eat out of the mouth of the gopas? That Brahma didn't understand. Being so absorbed in creation, being so absorbed in Rajo Gun activity, he couldn't digest that. He is Yajna Book. He is a master of all sacrifices. Yajna Sishta, what is that? Bhoktaram, Yajna Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, but why is he eating out of the gop, some cowherd boy's mouth? Something wrong. He may not be Yajna Book. I always thought so, because I am the guy who is the creator. And I don't like to see my boss eating out of somebody's mouth. It disturbs my idea of who the creator is. He didn't understand. These gopas are much beyond him and everybody else. Kritapunya Punja, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. What amazing amount of austerities, penance, these boys would have gone through, these souls would have gone through in order to be able to be in that position with Krishna. He couldn't understand that. So it's mentioned he stole the calves. He stole the gopas. Just to check out. Test. You see. And then when he came back, he got bewildered because he saw them in place again. Nothing has changed. Then all these happened 1 year, you know, the whole pastime. After 1 year, Brahma realized, for him it's a moment, he realized that I've done a big blunder. I've succumbed to that illusion. And he came and offered his obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna didn't say a word. Just mentioned that Krishna was still standing, just like he left him 1 year back, with the curd rice in his hands. For South Indians, it's a great thing. My gosh, there is thair sadam in the hand. Oh. He was holding yogurt rice and a little pickle between his finger. And he was holding that. And Brahma came and, you know, sobbed and cried and rolled on the floor and paid obeisances with four heads and said, "What an idiot I am. I made this mistake and everything." And Krishna didn't say a word. Didn't say anything. And Brahma left after circumambulating Krishna. So, it's mentioned that this pastime was induced by Krishna. It was, he made Brahma illusioned so that this pastime would occur. so that the world would understand. But in the case of Indra, actually, Indra was not so powerful. Indra was not on the status of Brahma. He did something really crazy in the Govardhan Leela. So he came and then Krishna addressed him and said, don't do these type of stupid things. Don't be very proud. Go back. Get to your work. Go and do your job. But to Brahma, he didn't say anything. Because he was an extremely intelligent person, Brahma. And the way you treat intelligent people is you don't say too many things to them. You just leave them alone and by their own intelligence, they'll kill themselves in thought. Why did I do it? Krishna just left him like that. And Brahma couldn't take it. It's mentioned that he felt something, you know, not happen properly. I just, you know, how do I make up with Krishna? I mean, so that's how this, you know, he came as Haridas Thakur and he prayed to Krishna. And he got darshan. When Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very merciful and gave him mercy. But as Krishna, actually, he dealt with Brahma in a different way. He made him learn what's the meaning of being Krishna. So Brahma got to get exposed to Krishna's another feature, that beyond being the creator of the entire material manifestation, I am the Lord of both material and spiritual creation. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajate mam bhudabhava samanvita. The Lord of both the material and spiritual worlds. And in that, the more interesting feature is the spiritual creation. And in that, the more interesting feature is my pastime in with the wonderful devotees in Braja, in Vrindavan. And in that, I have such a position, such an exalted position with my devotees, which requires something, my mercy, in order to be able to understood, to be understood. So, creation and all these things, sometimes we feel it's not so interesting as much as hearing pastimes of Krishna and being, you know, involved with them. But for Brahma too, he understood that I may be performing the service of creation, but then Krishna's position and in relationship with his devotees is so unique, is so amazingly different, that one who knows that will understand creation very nicely, because you'll understand the unique position of Krishna. So when we understand that, we know that creation is simply meant to accommodate us. And creation is simply meant to make us learn and go back to Krishna and be part of his wonderful devotional atmosphere. That's why your Prabhupada says that the material world is like a cloud in the spiritual sky. It's a, you know, dark cloud in the beautiful spiritual sky. Ekpada vibhuti, tripada vibhuti. The spiritual creation is 3/4 of the energies and creations of the Lord. And the material creation is just 1/4. And we are all those, you know, junked, dumped in the garbage of the material world. Because we have been wanting to enjoy matter and have a different situation separated from Krishna. But while we are doing that, 3/4 of other associates of the Lord, not only associates, living entities, they are all having a beautiful, wonderful time in their original position with Krishna in the spiritual world, which is the major portion of the creation. It's a major portion of the creation. So these affairs in the material world, not that they are not important, they are very important for us, because this is a way by which we can connect up with Krishna. And then we study this whole thing about creation and how Krishna is beyond the creation. Narayana paro avyaktat. That Narayana is beyond this creation. His activities are beyond this creation. His wonderful spiritual activities in Goloka and all of them are supreme.
And by hearing about Krishna in his supreme pastimes, the conditioned soul who is very absorbed in matter will lose interest in matter, will actually become attracted to Krishna. So by understanding creation, we can appreciate Krishna as God and great. Prabhupada told us, we must not simply know that God is great, we must know how He is great. So in order to know how God is great, if you read creation aspects of it, see how many people are working underneath. So many, 33 crores of demigods are managing different departments. I know how Krishna is outsourced this whole thing to the demigods. I call it one form of BPO. Business process outsourcing. In India, very famous, all the most of the people are working in BPOs overnight and in the night. Krishna is also, you know, outsourced. Blessings process outsourcing. If you BPO, that is, if you actually understand how Krishna is merciful, He's blessed you by putting you in this situation and giving you this knowledge. And if you study that and get to know it, how you can connect up with Krishna. Right? That way creation is very important to devotees. Om Dasat. Srila Prabhupada ki. If you have any questions or something, I can try to answer in the next few minutes. Or comments. Questions or comments? Om Tat Sat. Srila Prabhupada ki.